What's up, guys? What's going on? I'm Paul. This is Pauline Theology's Daily Devotional with Trust in Jesus Ministries. Man, I'm glad you are with us as we study through Genesis, man. If you feel like this ministry here has been helping you or motivating you or strengthening you in some way in the Lord to trust in Jesus, man, that's the goal. That's what we want to do. And so we'd appreciate it if you would just give us a like and a subscribe if you are on YouTube, or share the video with somebody you think that this may help. If you're on a podcast listening to this while you're driving, going to work or whatever, man, give me a review. Hook me up with a review. Give me 5 stars, man, if you can. We appreciate that. If you want to do more, man, if you want to donate and give monetarily in some way, check out our website at trustinjesusministries.com, where you can go to support us. There's a link there that you can click on and give either one-time payment or a recurring payment, man. And we'd appreciate that, and we love that, because God is doing some amazing things here in this ministry, and we want you to be a part of it. So we thank you so much for that. Anyway, we are in Genesis chapter 31 through 35, and we've got to the point where Laban has caught up with Jacob after Jacob has fled back to his home country, man. And then we ended on the question. He said, man, why you take my gods, man? You know, because Laban had a weird sighted eye of what's going on with his whole family and stuff. And I guess he didn't realize that there was some animosity that was boiling between his daughters and him. But now we're going to see the answer of Jacob. Well, Jacob says, dude, I was afraid. Oh, I'm sorry. We got to let you make sure you read the verses. So it's Genesis 31 through 35. And if you haven't read it, you got to stop the tape. You got to read it. And then you can come back and we can discuss the 4 questions. But if you've already read it, then now let's jump into it. What is it actually? What's going on? The first question is, what's going on? What's happening? What is occurring in the story? Well, we find that Jacob is answering the question that Laban puts to him about, first off, taking off and leaving. And then second off, stealing the teraphims, the gods, the idols. Well, Jacob answers, man, he's like, dude, I was afraid, bro, that you was going to take your daughters from me. Matter of fact, he didn't even say take. He said, rob me of your daughters. And he's still giving deference to Laban, man. That's amazing, ain't it? That Jacob is being so humble, showing humility, when he knows all of the things that has occurred between him and Laban and all the ways in which he has done wrong to him. He's still showing deference by saying your daughters rather than my wives. He's not claiming possession of them as his own, but he is still referring to them as the man Laban. And so he says, man, he's like, dude, I was afraid you're going to rob me of your daughters. He's like, I thought she was going to take from me the thing in which I cared so preciously about. The kids, too. He's like, all that, the family. He was going to take all that from me. That's why. He says, but in regards to stealing, no. If anybody stole from you, he's declaring his innocence. He's declaring his integrity, because God has changed this man. And he's only wants what's rightfully his. And not to deceive or to steal from others. And so he says, man, he's like, dude, whoever stole them idols, that person will not live before his brothers. He's like, he will not live before the people. We'll put him out. And he says, anything else is anybody's taking, man. He says, put it before me. Show me. And so after, and then it says that he ain't know that Rachel had taken his stuff. So it's kind of tough. We're going to talk about an application, but man, don't be hasty in making these oaths, bro. That's his wife. That's the one he loves too, man. And so if she gets caught, we're about to find out what happens, but dang, it could be some terrible stuff. Anyway, he says, if somebody has done it, bring them before you. Anything that anybody's taking, man, we'll put it out before me. Show me, man. Let me know. They ain't going to live. They ain't going to make it. So it says that Laban goes in and he searches everybody's tents. And when he comes to the tent of Rachel, the word is Yah Mashesh. In the Hebrew. And it's funny, the reason I mention this is because it kind of gives a deeper or a more poignant picture of what's going on. That word vayameshesh is also the verb that was used in regards to Isaac and his feeling or his touching of Jacob as he was trying to take the blessing away from Esau. And so the idea is maybe that a person is feeling and touching as he is blind, and that's the way, you know how when you can't see in the dark, you're touching on the walls and stuff like that and feeling your way around in order to get to the place that you're trying to get to or to find the thing you're trying to find. It reminds me of trying to find a charger or a plug to plug the charger into under your bed, trying to like feel against the wall and you can't get it in there ever. But that's the idea of what's going on here, because I think in the English translations it actually says search, or maybe it's, I think it's search. And so that idea of searching, that idea of looking through the tent of Rachel, is now it's like he's blindly going through the tent trying to find it, and he can't find it, man. It says Rachel also sits on them things. She puts those idols in the camel's pack and then sits on them. That's what she does with them idols. As he goes in and blindly searches around because he don't know they're there. And then it says that Rachel goes and she says to him, "My Lord, please don't be angry that I didn't stand up for you, because the way of women is upon me, man." And she had to explain why she didn't get up and how she was hiding those things. And so, and finally, it says that Laban looked more, searched more, and he couldn't find anything. He couldn't find anything. I think it's important here as we begin to talk about God. Like, what is this scripture saying about God? Well, it's saying that God is mighty. It's saying that God is powerful. God is strong. And this saying about God, I believe, is in juxtaposition to say what it is about idols. It's like the things that we put up and that we raise to the status of godhood. This is Laban's godhood. And what is Laban's godhood? Well, Laban's God is able to be stolen. Second off, Laban's God is able to be sat on. And then third, Laban's idols are able to be defiled. Later, we find out in the scriptures that when the way of women come upon them, and that's a period, is that they are unclean. Anything that's touched or near that time is unclean for a time. And so the idols that Laban have can be rendered unclean, can be made profane. Like, what are these gods? What are these idols? That is not how our God is. In comparison to the God who comes and he speaks to Laban and says, "Don't even touch him," and Laban listens because he knows the power of God. To the God who is able to increase the wealth of Jacob, despite the fact that Laban is stealing the means for which he is able to increase his wealth. God is still able to make this man wealthy, make this man rich. God is able to protect and to keep Jacob during this crazy time in his life as he's traveling and living in a country that is not his own. As compared to that God, the God of Bethel, that has a highway between heaven and earth, that is a ladder that Jacob gets to witness and see. That God, compared to these idols, come on, man, come on, man. Well, what's this say about man? Well, I think what it says about man is that we elevate the wrong things to the wrong places. We elevate the things that have no power, no strength, to the wrong places. And we also, I think that's important to see, is that we also become like the things that we elevate. The things we elevate is the things that we become. Those idols are blind. They can't see. They can't speak. They're dumb. And they can't hear. They're dumb. They can't hear. And they're mute. They can't speak. And what did Laban act like as he was searching so vigorously for those idols in Rachel's tent? Well, that's why that verb comes into mind, is because he's stumbling around searching and can't see. We elevate the wrong things to the wrong status, and we become like the things that we so worship. So how do we apply these truths to our lives? What are the things that we can take from this? Well, first off, man, what are the idols in your life? What are you lifting up? What status are you placing the things that are going on, that are occurring, the objects? How are they shaping you? What are you looking like? Are you holding up God as the truth, the Yahweh as the one true king, and becoming and being molded in his fashion, as the scriptures say in Romans will happen? Or is it money? Is it power? Is it prestige? Is it relationship? Man, we've all got to check ourselves in that area constantly, constantly. Yeah, I appreciate you guys for listening, man, and I hope that God is with you. I know that he is if you seek refuge in him. It says that those who know the Lord trust in him. Those who know his name, that's what it says, the name. And the name is I talked a little bit about this a few episodes ago, maybe, is that his name is his character. And we've been reading a lot about names and naming and what it means and how they have significance and such in all of these people's lives. And so there is a significance in the name of Yahweh. And so those who trust in Yahweh, man, those who know Yahweh, I'm sorry, those who know Yahweh will trust in him, because they know he never fails. I'll see you guys in the next episode.